right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of A Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? Excited to talk about some indie games. Can't wait. You might notice my background here, little bare. I'm moving around some stuff. This office, you know, might look a little different in, a few weeks' time. So,
oh boy,
strap in for that. But how you doing, Tommy? What's going on?
I'm good. First day of the new old job. The second first day I've had this job. And it was a long one. Woke up early. Didn't really sleep much last night. I had one of those, like, sleeps where it never actually feels like I went to sleep, you know? And then you just wake up, you're like, did I sleep? I must have, because the time passed. And then I drove 2 hours out there. And then, it was fun. Everybody was really happy to have me back, which was really cool. I was happy to be back. Funny enough, a lot of people didn't know I was coming back. They kind of, like, didn't really tell people. And I was sitting there this morning, and my coworker from Delaware walks in, and he's like, hey, what's going on, man? How you been? I'm like, good. And we kind of like sit down or whatever, and like 15 minutes pass by. He's like, wait, do you work here again? I was like, yeah. He's like, I thought you were just like here to hang out. I was like, what? Like, that was kind of funny. So shout out Jeff. He's a cool dude. We both like horror movies, and we always talk about them. So that was my day. I feel like I'm getting over something. There was like a sinus thing I had, and you know, it's finally kind of breaking, although probably the zero sleep didn't help and all the beer, of course. But listen, we just got to power through. We had a fun weekend of playing Flesh and Blood for the pre-release, but also went to your house for A Night in Tuscany. If you want to talk about that.
Yeah, so we hosted a little dinner at the house of, we call it A Night in Tuscany. You know, there's stuff there that's not even Italian. But we made some homemade raviolis. It was a roller coaster because the raviolis were homemade, but they were sticking to the parchment paper. Tommy's a genius. He knew how to get it off. Then the oven broke with it on. So I have someone coming to repair it tomorrow. But all in all, it was a great time. Had a good time chatting with everybody, having some good food. We had some homemade s'mores, you know, that were fantastic. Shout out to our buddy Bags's fiance for those. And they were great. Still have some of them left over. And yeah, got some other stuff left over I've just been munching on. But it was a good time. You know, we kind of did like, you know, you guys hosted a dinner. Then Bags hosted a dinner. Then we hosted a dinner. You know, it's like completing the trifecta. And then next time, you know, all the listeners are going to host a dinner for us. So you better, Capolo, I'm talking to you. All right?
Coming to find you, Cap. No, it was a good time. Yeah, it felt like Murphy's Law for a hot second there. Anything that could go wrong was going wrong. But, you know, all's well that ends well, I guess. You know, it sucks that the oven broke. I was like, I knew I felt like I could really fix it. I was like unscrewing stuff, and it was out of my scope, as the project managers say. So,
you know, there's only so much. Like, I was like, okay, I've had the handles come off before. You're sliding back on. Once that I slid it back on, and it didn't turn anymore. I was like, I don't know what to do. You know, it's almost like with cars for me, like a gas car. Be like, if the tires have air and the gas tank's full and the oil's full, I don't know what to do. I gotta call a real man, you know, like I have no idea what to do next.
It was weird. I've been actually just thinking about it, like, what went wrong? Like, for the past 2 days, I've been like, why did it get stuck? And you know, my conclusion is it just did, and how the cookie crumbles. But hey, it was a good time nonetheless. Did you get up to anything else over the weekend?
Yeah, it was Lady Juice's birthday yesterday, so we went to our little farmer's market, which is great. Got some, there's a great like sourdough like vendor there that doesn't only make bread, but she makes like sourdough cookies, sourdough pancakes. I saw for the first time this week, I bought them sourdough everything bagels. And these bagels are packed with the seasoning. She's not skimpy at all with that sort of stuff. So, that's been good. Been having some of those. And then, she went to have like a little, prenatal massage, obviously, she's dealing with some pains and all that stuff. But, then we went to like this cool Mexican place we had never been to before. It was a really good meal. Had a quesadilla, pina colada, living the life there. And then we had some just dessert at the in-laws' house. So that was, kind of a action-packed little day there, Nice. Also played some Elden Ring Night Rain, which maybe or maybe not I'll talk about later. We'll see. That came out on Friday. And then I was off work today because we had a doctor's appointment we had to go to. So that was good. Got that over with. Did some stuff for the on the PC to get ready for Dune Awakening, folks, later this week. Can't wait. Took off Thursday and Friday so I could play. So
you're
we're going
two
all
days
in.
This week?
I'm working 2 days.
Nice.
Very excited about that. But yeah, that's basically everything I've been up to. It honestly, like lately, it's just like so much going on at once. It's nice to like today. I just had like a few hours of just like still time. Mm-hmm. I call it where it's just like nothing's going on. You could do whatever you want. That was good. But what about you? Anything else you get into other than what you covered?
Just the Flesh and Blood. It was the pre-release weekend. I was dealing with the sinus thing, so like I had like this brain fog. Like I must have been, because it's been raining a lot. It must be like some kind of thing happening, bringing down the pollen, and it was just like stuck right here. So like I felt like I didn't play my best, but it was still a lot of fun. The new set's all about pirates, which is pretty cool. So, that was neat. How was the Mexican restaurant? That place is, I think the one that you're talking about is literally walking distance from Lady Fresh's like childhood home. We always pass it. We haven't been there yet.
Yeah. Lady Juice was mentioning that Lady Fresh wanted to try. This is hard doing it with these, it was good. Yeah. Honestly, like I'm not like a big Tex-Mex guy, and like sometimes when I see places like this, I'm like, okay, this is gonna be kind of like Tex-Mex food. It wasn't really like it, I thought it was like well seasoned. The food came out like super quickly, which is great, which like makes sense. Mexican food shouldn't really take that long to make generally. The food was just really like really flavorful. It was overall a good experience and nice and clean too. We were like kind of comparing it to this other place we had been to, Tio, where we both think we got like kind of sick from some of their food. But we had been wanting to go there for so long. And when we got there, like it just like things were like a little dirty, which is like sometimes I'm fine with that if it's like a hole in the wall, as long as the food can back it up, and it just didn't back it up. So this place was like the opposite of that.
Awesome.
And yeah, I recommend it. I think you'd enjoy it. Plus, they have something that I've never really seen at Mexican places. And maybe it's just I haven't really looked for it, but they gave us like a little menu of like, I guess, like family style, like meals you can get that are like, serves 4 to 6 people. And I'm like, oh, this is like I usually see this at like Italian places, or even like a seafood place might have something like that. But these were like you could buy like big platters for the table of Mexican stuff. So that was cool. Yeah.
That was cool. I feel like that's going to be more popular as the economy inevitably gets worse. So, because, it's easier to sell bulk food and it's easier to buy it sometimes. It's like it's kind of a win-win for the consumer and the producer. So that is cool. I want to go there. I do like some good Mexican food. So maybe soon. Now, we got a great episode for you all this week. We're going to be talking about some demos. This is a chill week, kind of an off week for us. Really excited to review the game next week because we've been playing that one already. We have two demos that we're talking about today. One called Sliding Hero and another bigger one, Mycopunk from Devolver. So two big ones, or two kind of different kind of games on different sides of the spectrum in terms of indie games. So it'll be interesting to talk about them. We're not going to rate them, but we're going to talk about our experiences with them. And, you know, if you should check it out or get excited for the release. So it should be fun to talk about. But first, we have some news. Fresh Juice Discord. It's free to join. It's in the show notes below. Check it out. We get people coming in there all the time. They're saying, Tommy, Maddie, what's going on? And then we're just like, we're playing video games. So that's a cool thing to do. So check that out. It's a good time. And it's free to join. And you can find cool games. And you just added a new bot to it.
Yes, actually, I saw it in another Discord, and essentially it will notify the juice heads in our Discord whenever there's a free game on sale on Epic, on Steam. If it's free to own, it'll notify all the juice heads out there. So, because, you know, we had people in there, which is great, like posting when like games were free. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I appreciate them doing that. But let me just add this so that it's easier, you know, and people don't need to track it for us, you know. But I honestly really do appreciate people posting that stuff in there, though, because there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh my god, I forgot, like I wanted to claim this game and I didn't. So now we got those automatic alerts in there. It's called the free stuff bot, actually. So there you go.
Where'd you get the name?
Yeah,
I don't know. Also, we have Summer Game Fest this week, and that is always kind of fun to check out. It starts on June 6th. When's this come out? June 4th. So in 2 days, we got Summer Game Fest. Is there anything we know about this other than it's happening?
So there was a graphic released with like all the studios that will be part of Summer Game Fest. Because that actual show, like the actual like Summer Game Fest show, is on Friday on the 6th. But there's also a bunch of shows on Saturday, and then like the Xbox showcase is on Sunday. That usually is, so it's kind of just like a announcement filled sort of weekend. I know for those of you out there who like Arc Raiders, that game that had kind of a closed alpha that had a lot of hype around it, the rumor is that they're going to be announcing like a beta that you'll be able to play at Summer Game Fest. I keep seeing that all over my feed. And then for Xbox, I'm anticipating some Gears of War news because they announced a remastered game coming out at the end of August. And then they have another game coming out maybe this year or next year, Gears E-Day. So I'm expecting those. But honestly, I try to like stay away from a lot of the rumors and stuff, because in today's day and age, I find like a lot of stuff gets leaked. And I don't know. I like watching, like when I used to watch like E3. I like getting surprised, right, about that sort of stuff. So I try to just like avoid it, but it's been hard to avoid like the Arc Raider stuff specifically. But yeah, there's a ton of studios. This is actually, I think they mentioned for Summer Game Fest, this is the most studios that have been participating in the show ever. So it's like record breaking for them, which is awesome. We'll see how it goes. You know, it's kind of the pseudo E3. It's kind of the thing that's taken over. So we'll see. You know, we'll see kind of how it unfolds, but I don't really have any like super high expectations, because if I get like Gears of War news, that's kind of the highest expectation I would have. And I already know that's going to happen probably. So, I just kind of want to sit back and enjoy the show and see what they have to announce. And usually I'll make a list as well of games I'm interested in. I'll share that in our Discord. And then who knows, maybe there'll be some games we cover on the show.
Yeah, it should be exciting, and you're off that day, which is nice. So you can kind of dual screen it while you're playing some Dune. You know, there's some big names here, right? Like Square Enix, Sega, Nintendo Switch 2, Devolver, Atari, Capcom. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Some really cool ones I'm seeing here, like Yacht Club Games, so maybe a new project, maybe not Shovel Knight, but something new there. What else did I see on here that was kind of exciting? I mean, PlayStack, they put out some cool stuff. Niantic, which I guess is not, it's owned by somebody else now. I think I remember it got sold.
Yeah.
But should be interesting. I you know, game news is always exciting. Gets people hyped and just more people playing games in general, which is fun. So excited to see what it entails. Let's talk about some demos.
Let's first, do it.
Sliding Hero. Sliding Hero. What is Sliding Hero? It is a top-down puzzle Metroidvania where you slide in a single direction until hitting an obstacle. So think like ice levels in Pokemon, or, you know, I guess there's a couple other games that have done it. But that's really the one that really kind of comes to mind for me. Or even in like Silph-Co in the original Pokemon. You're trapped in a sinister 1700s Venetian villa. Explore a world inspired by Venice's carnival that will test your wits, overcome challenges, uncover secrets, and unmask your identity. You explore a sprawling, dreamlike villa meticulously designed with interconnected rooms and hidden passageways. It is pretty interesting. So I spent some time with this, and I liked it, right? You know, those kind of levels in those top-down games have always been interesting. It adds a different level of complexity and puzzling, like, nature to it. This kind of takes that and says, hey, this is the whole game, right? This whole game is going to be that kind of puzzle, which is, I think, not the most original thing. I think I've seen stuff like this before, but at this level, I don't think I've really seen it. And it is very interesting. I'm interested to see how it's going to end up, right? Because what is the date for this game's release?
Q3 2025.
So coming up in a couple of months. And it is, it has an interesting mechanic with the combat where you got to pick up weapons in the room. Like, each room presents itself as this unique own puzzle, and then from there you will slide around, and if there's enemies, you got to pick up weapons to kill them, because you have to kill the enemies to move on, at least in this demo. And you can always restart if you need to. And then also there's going to be kind of Metroidvania elements where you're going to be finding upgrades that will help you complete later puzzles and stuff like that. So, and unlock other areas. So I enjoyed my time with it. You know, you get little bits of the story. It's kind of there. It's more like, hey, there is going to be an overarching story for this. Here are some main characters for you to interact with or talk to or get quests from, which was kind of neat. And, you know, I liked the gameplay here because it was challenging, unique in a way, and I could see the vision here because this is a pretty early demo compared to when it's going to be released. I think this was released last year, and then the demo or the full game is releasing this year. So it's been out for a minute. I want to see where this game ends up. From a gameplay perspective, as well as some other perspectives as well, but mostly from the gameplay, because I think there's something here and I want to see if they can really make this a whole adventure, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is a tough concept, I imagine, to design, right? To say, hey, every room's a puzzle, and your character can only move in one kind of way. Here is just a whole bunch of stuff for you to do. If they can figure that out, I think it will be really fun to play once we get to the demo, or once we get to the full release. How did you find your time with this game, at least with the gameplay?
Yeah, with the gameplay, you know, I agree. I mean, I've always liked these sort of levels, you know, in like Pokemon games, even like, you know, more recently playing PokeMMO, there's like these frozen warehouses you have to go into. And this is the mechanic when you get in there. It also does remind me of a game we talked about a while ago on the show, Questmaster, where you can essentially build your own Zelda dungeons. There is a mechanic in that game as well where I've played entire dungeons where you only can slide. So it reminded me a lot of that. I think that, you know, even in the early game, there's a good amount of it's not really complex, but like there's some thinking that needs to be done for like some of the levels, especially once combat is introduced, because you have to defeat all the enemies in order for like the next door to open. So that added another level, like another layer of complexity, which I appreciated, because after a few kind of runs of, okay, there's going to be a hole in the ground, you just got to hop over it, like you start to almost think like how much further can this like go to keep it interesting. And then when they introduce combat, and the way they introduce combat where you're picking up the shield, you're picking up like sword tokens essentially that you use when you encounter enemies, I thought that was pretty well done. I did have an issue though with maybe it's a skill issue, but there were definitely times where I felt like I was locked in a room, and I needed to backtrack a lot in order to heal, because there's like only so many different kind of combinations you can come up with to get out of a room that has combat. And if honestly, I just felt like if I didn't have enough health, like even if I had 2 out of the 3 hearts, I wasn't going to be able to get out of the room. So I had to go back and heal. And then because there's kind of these fountains you can heal at, once I came back to the room, it was like, okay, no problem. I can get through the room and I survive with like 1 heart, you know, kind of thing. So that was just one thing with the combat that like, maybe it's just like a skill issue, like I said, but the game almost kind of wants you to figure out, okay, what's the right order to do these things so you can progress. And I felt like I tried every option and I still couldn't progress. So that part was just like a little frustrating for me. Because I'm like, okay, now I need to like go all the way back like 4 rooms, remember like in reverse how I have to get to those rooms. And so that's one thing that maybe like it would be nice to maybe at some point in the game this does happen. I just didn't get to it, but find some health along the way. Maybe a pot that you can break or something like that that has a heart in it. Or maybe sometimes when you defeat an enemy, they'll give you a heart, things like that. And maybe, again, that could be like later in the game. But overall, I mean, like, I think it did a good job really like capitalizing on this mechanic and also making it feel a bit like Metroidvania-y. There we go. I had to like read the word and then just add an E at the end. Because there's definitely like areas like in the early game where you're like, oh my God, there's an item there. I need to figure out how to get to it. And then you realize that you can't get to it yet. So you must have some other way to get to it later in the game. So I thought they did a good job with like that part of it. You know, that's like a core thing, obviously, in Metroidvanias. And I appreciated it because, you know, I think this game could have easily been like just a very simple, like just get through each room and then you just progress kind of thing, like almost like a mobile game kind of vibe. But they added a little bit extra depth there where, okay, you're going to have to come back to these rooms so you can get these items and you don't know exactly what the items are. So that makes it a little bit more exciting. Now I didn't get like super far into the game, but I did enjoy the gameplay overall. I think, you know, it uses his mechanic well. The only kind of thing with it is that if you're not into this mechanic, just don't play the game. Like it's just solely based on obviously sliding. Right. So if it's just not your thing, if you hate that part of like Pokemon games or like, you know, I guess some like old school Zelda levels or Questmaster, you're not going to like this game at all. So you just kind of need to make sure you kind of are in the right mindset to get through a game like this. But yeah, and I have some stuff I want to bring up in the art department that I think could like help a little bit with kind of the mechanic of this game, but I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you bring up some good points about like the inherent issues with this kind of design, and I think they do it well, but there is some kind of cumbersomeness of backtracking. you know, I know there's a reset button for the puzzles, but like just going back to where you need to go, like in the demo, you go all the way to one edge of the map and you don't really start off with a teleport or anything like that, but you might get one later. But, you know, and the same is true of other Metroidvanias, but like it's just backtracking is just a little bit more annoying when you kind of have to like slide around. And yeah, it's just kind of the nature of the beast. Now, the art department, it's very cute. I will say in this demo, there is certainly a lot of empty space, you know, where I think it could be a little bit more fleshed out. Maybe it's just the nature of this kind of biome or whatever that you start out in. But the stuff that is there is actually quite good, I think. You know, it looks like an old school, like I guess, Zelda game, with this like Italian like jester guy running around, which is pretty neat. And then if you're watching the video, there was a character that comes out of a hole that like looks so cool. Like there are moments of like, is this even the same game when you're looking right at it? Which is like, you know, it's fine. I think it's totally cool to have like big, like story based characters have that kind of difference to them when they like show up in this kind of game. But I would like to see some of the empty space just like filled out, like when you're outside, right? Like if you're watching right now, when you're inside, it's kind of fine. But like, you know, there could just be a little bit more effort, I think, put into the backgrounds. But otherwise, I thought it was fine. You're probably going to bring it up, but there is sometimes where it can be confusing, like what you can run into and stuff like that. But I'll let you talk to that.
Yeah, that was kind of my biggest kind of gripe with the art is that, you know, with a game that's obviously based on like colliding with something so that you can stop and you're trying to maybe think a few steps ahead, there were like a few levels where I was like, oh, I'm going to run into this thing, so I need to like plan around it. And then you just kind of go through it because it's technically part of like the foreground, which is, you know, I think it's not a bad thing because it kind of gives you that little moment of like, oh, like what's behind here? Not that there was really anything behind those sort of things that I found. But yeah, that was just kind of one thing. Maybe if somehow the art could be tweaked a little bit in that way where like it was a little bit more clear that something was in the foreground. Maybe it's about like casting a shadow, something like that. I mean, your own character casts a shadow. So maybe something that's a little bit more obvious. But again, once you kind of realize that that is a possibility in the game, you know, future levels, you kind of start like figuring out, okay, this is probably in the foreground, so I can probably go behind it. But I did have that a little bit of that issue. But other than that, I mean, the art style reminds me a lot of Zelda, which is a great thing. Obviously, it's built on like this sort of grid system, very simple to understand. You know, you got your hearts up in the top left, like the UI is simple. One thing for me that, you know, maybe is, I should have mentioned more towards the gameplay side, but typically in like Metroidvanias, like the map is a really big deal for me. In this game, I didn't really find that like I needed to look at the map that much because there weren't like a ton of options always presented to me of where I could go. So it was kind of easy to like figure out how to get back to a certain area. But maybe like later in the game, obviously it's just a demo, that starts to get a little bit more complicated and the map gets a little bit more useful. But that was just something where I was almost like, oh, there's a map. Like I, you know, after a few levels, I didn't even realize there was a map in the game, because I never really thought I needed it. But, yeah, you know, I think the art's pretty well done. I do like the main character, that kind of jester, you know, sort of character. I believe he is. I know his name is Luca. I know we have to talk about the story a little bit as well. But it doesn't actually mention that he's like a jester, I don't think, at least in the synopsis I have of the game. But he does look like one. So I think it's a cool looking character and almost like this sort of character, if this was maybe a little bit more front and center, perhaps. This could be like the sliding hero guy. Like, I think it has like enough like unique characteristics to be just unique to this game, which is cool. You know, it's not always easy to make something like that. But I think the main character looks pretty awesome. So yeah, I think the art in the game is pretty great. It just kind of had that one little weird gameplay quirk that just took me a second to get used to.
Yeah, and it could totally be ironed out for the main release. So I am interested to see. Now, in terms of the story, I didn't really get much into the story. I just, you know, I read some of the dialogue. I figured I wasn't going to get a lot in the demo to begin with. But it is kind of cool to know that there's going to be a focus on the story. We do have some backstory on it. You know, you're going to play, you know, the Jester, I guess, is maybe just wearing the costume. But Luca, as you mentioned, is like a fierce warrior, which is kind of interesting, just sliding around like that. But I'm more interested to see where the story takes us in the full release, to be honest, because there's certainly like some big moments in the demo where you're like, oh, this is going to be pretty cool when it like all shakes out. So I can't really speak much to it now, but, and then the music wise, I played this in bed while the wife was sleeping, so I didn't have the music on.
Yeah, that's I mean, here's a little sample of it for the listeners, since we can do this now. You know, it's not you know, incredibly like fast paced. We could skip around a little bit too. It does kind of vary, but it's always kind of, you know, with these sort of like strings, I guess. Mm-hmm. That are going on. It almost has that kind of Italian kind of feel to it, right? A little bit. But yeah, I wasn't really like blown away by the music. And honestly, with like a game called Sliding Hero, I just kind of maybe thought the music would go along with like me sliding and like, you know, almost like on beat. It'd be kind of cool if that was sort of, you know, a little nice touch to the way the music worked. But I didn't have an issue with the music. It's slow. You know, I guess it's good like thinking music, because you're usually trying to think a few steps ahead. And as far as like sound effects go, didn't really get a lot of that out of that either, you know, with like battling enemies, things like that. Yeah, music for me and sound was just kind of, it was just kind of there, and I didn't really get like a lot of excitement out of it when I was actually expecting a little bit more out of it, but it definitely doesn't take away from the game. So that's a plus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we don't have much more to talk about with this demo. I mean, it's cool. We did get this, you know, the dev did reach out to us to try this, which we really appreciate. And I am excited to see where it goes, because it is a really cool concept. You know, like we've seen with other games, demos are not the end-all be-all, and especially with the distance between this demo and the full release, I have to imagine there's going to be some updates. So very exciting. Now, Mycopunk, a game that was at PAX that we couldn't actually, I mean, we could if we wanted to wait in line, but we didn't play. There was a lot of hype around it, it looked like. Now, this is an extraction shooter where you can hop in, do co-op. I think it's mainly made for co-op. I'm going to let you speak on this game a little bit more, because I didn't get to play a lot. My computer wasn't really handling it that well, but I think that's more of something I need to actually fix and not Mycopunk's problem. But can you speak on the gameplay of Mycopunk?
I can, yeah. So, like Tommy mentioned, I'm just trying to pull up the gameplay here as well. My computer is being so slow at the moment, but I'll get it up there. But the gameplay, like Tommy mentioned, is an extraction shooter where you kind of start out in this little sort of lobby area. It asks if you want to like host or join a game at first. So very much expected to be like a co-op experience, like you mentioned. And let me just get that gameplay live up here now that I got it connected. But Yeah, so it's an extraction shooter where, you know, you can host your own game. I just played solo, but it, even some of the dialogue in the game, and we'll get into like the story, quote unquote, it actually mentions like, oh, you guys are doing great. I'm like, oh, it's just me. but thanks. So, you know, you kind of drop into this world in this pod, and you kind of have missions almost like Helldivers, if you're familiar with that, where you go up to this kind of world map, you choose a mission. The missions are really basic. They're pretty simple. Some of them are just kill all the enemies until you hit 100% of the kill meter. Or it'll be like, oh, you have to activate this giant railgun because you're going to like destroy a planet. Some of the missions are like a little bit more involved than just killing, which I appreciated. But you kind of, you know, you drop into this world, you can choose your loadout. I actually think that the loadout system is pretty good, because it's simple, but it also allows for like a good amount of upgrades. So you can upgrade your weapon based on things you find in your runs. And what I think is really interesting is that, you know, we've seen games before where if you want to apply a perk or you want to apply an upgrade, maybe certain perks take like 3 out of the 10 slots you have, and other perks take 1 out of the 10 slots. And you kind of need to like mix and match a little bit. You know, to kind of get like the really good perks are going to take up more slots, but they might not necessarily be the ones that you want to use for the character that you're playing or whatever it is. So in this game, I actually really like it. And this is maybe more on the art side, but I like this upgrade system. And it, instead of using slots, it's almost like these molecule sort of looking things. So you have this like hexagonal grid, and you need to drop each upgrade onto it. And some of it, you know, it takes up like multiple hexagons. It kind of looks like a little molecule, which is cool. It's the only thing I could kind of relate it to. So I enjoyed that you could kind of upgrade the guns in different ways. And even by using the weapons, you can actually level them up. And then with each level of the weapon, you get like resources, like crafting resources, I guess, that you can use on other upgrades. So it's kind of cool. It almost like promotes you trying out other weapons versus like the ones that you just kind of start with. So I kind of went in there and, you know, just tried out a few different weapons. The one that you're seeing on screen right now is a pretty cool one where you are kind of, it's got this rectangle on the screen, and the ammo actually like goes around the rectangle. And then when you shoot it at an enemy, it has all these bullets that kind of go above the enemy. They wait a second and then they all shoot down at it. So it's kind of a really cool one for just like almost like a panic button of just like, there's a lot of things coming. Let me just shoot all these things up in the air and they'll all like take out what's underneath it. But at its core, you know, you're dropping into this world. There's a bunch of enemies that are coming after you. The world itself isn't like super interesting. There's not like buildings you can go into that I saw, at least in the demo. It's just like you're basically just running around these giant fields, just trying to like, you know, get the enemies in like a line or in a group so you can kind of take them out. There's not really a lot of exploration, I would say. I was expecting maybe a little bit more of that. But then, yeah, you just kind of have a quest. It might just be kill enemies. It might be, you know, you need to charge up this giant railgun. You know, there's a few different kind of quest types. And then once you're done with the quest, you go back to your kind of lobby area. That's where you can like apply some of your upgrades to your guns. You can try out new weapons. And yeah, it's a pretty simple, I'd say, extraction shooter. I actually had a lot of fun playing it, and I think it would be a lot of fun playing with friends. It's kind of like a time killer sort of game where I feel like some other extraction shooters are really about like, you know, you're like, I need to carve out like an hour for like each run that we're doing. Like when I play Helldivers, I'm like, all right, well, there's at least 3 missions I need to do. And each of those takes like 40 minutes. So I need to carve out a good amount of time just so I can like complete all these missions. This one felt a lot more like I'm just dropping in. I'm getting this stuff done like in under 20 minutes, and I'm coming out and I'm getting some upgrades. So I appreciated that, because sometimes extraction games can get a little bit too in depth, and they can take a good amount of time. They can be a little bit more slower paced. This one is like an arena shooter that's an extraction shooter. So yeah, it's fun, and I'm sure that the people at PAX had a great time because they were probably playing together with each other. But playing solo was good, but I am looking forward to trying this out with some other people. and just kind of really, you know, sink my teeth into it. But from a solo experience, I thought the gameplay delivered on what it was promising to do. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on like the gameplay? I know, you know, you had said like you didn't play as much of this one.
Yeah, I mean, there was some stuff that piqued my interest, which was the kind of the skill tree that seems to be pretty deep. You kind of touched on that, which probably will lead to a lot of replayability for this game, as well as I like the overall vibe of the four different characters, right? It was like Wrangler, Scrapper, I forget the other two, but I think it was like Glider and then Bruiser. Yeah, those are the four. And they looked cool, right? Like the whole vibe of this game was something that like I'm into because I love like the idea of mycology. I love mushrooms and stuff like that. So although they're the bad guys in this game, and you know, it is kind of funny because you can like the little bit that I played, I like shot something like a rocket or something like that, and then they shot it back at me somehow. So like I kind of was like, whoa, this is like actually I'm not going to be good at this because I'm just not good at shooters in general. But that was pretty cool to me. Kind of interested to see and how it ends up being like depth wise for the fans of this style game. But I also really like the art here because I kind of like this cel shaded kind of look. We've seen other games like this in the past, but it makes sense for what this game's trying to do because it's not too serious. And like, I don't know, like mushrooms, if they're like super realistic, they don't look threatening. Like, so like this made sense to me why it looks like this. It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but I happen to enjoy it. And then, you know, I felt like the character design was really cool as well for, you know, the non mycology characters. But what'd you think of the art?
Yeah, I was a fan of it. I mean, you get a lot of like Borderlands vibes out of it. I've even seen like the Mycopunk Twitter account kind of like poking fun at Borderlands because anytime Borderlands like 4 has some sort of misstep in like its development or like you know, the creator says something that's, you know, a little off color or whatever it might be, Mycopunk's always jumping on that opportunity and they're like, oh, well, we, you know, our game is priced lower, you know, or whatever it is. So there's definitely, you know, they're definitely aware that they're compared to Borderlands from the art standpoint. And I also get like some Scavenger's Reign kind of vibes. I know that was a game or a show that I wrecked a while ago, where it kind of has like these super like simplistic kind of like textures, but they're also like blotchy and I don't know, there's like a little bit more depth in them than if it was just kind of like this you know like sort of basic textured wall, I guess you could say. Like there's a little bit of detail there, but they're it's not you know, not like super detailed. It's not meant for you to kind of stop and look at it anyway because the gameplay's so fast. So yeah, I think you know, the world looks cool and there's the, you know, the enemy design is good. It's clear to see kind of where you need to shoot the enemies. A lot of them have like this central like pod thing you kind of shoot that breaks off some of its armor and then you can kind of kill what's underneath. So they did a good job art wise with that. Like that was easy to understand without them having to explain it to me. And really the only thing from like the art side I would like to see more is like give me some more interesting places to explore. Let me go in some of these buildings and maybe there's some resources in there. Like it felt like everything was kind of closed, which like, you know, it's fine. You know, if that's the kind of the point of the game is really you're not going to be like exploring these buildings. But at the same time, I just kind of feel like they didn't have to be buildings then. They could have just been, you know, I don't know, these giant dead mushrooms or like something like this, some giant like obstruction anyway. Whenever they're building, like I'm looking for a door. I'm like, where is the door? And I'm like, okay, none of these buildings have doors. So I can't like go in there and try to get something out of it. So that's just from the art side, you know, was just a little bit disappointing, I guess, because I expected there to be something there. But I think the art is really strong in this game. I actually think it's what attracts a lot of people to play it in the first place. I know it caught my eye when we were at PAX. I was like, oh, like, look, this seems interesting just from, you know, the art standpoint. And then, you know, it has a very, you know, cartoony sort of like, I don't know, like old school cartoon kind of vibe as well, which is a lot of fun with like, you know, I'm imagining if you're playing with other players, like there's probably some silly moments that happen that just look a little funny. So I don't know. This game also kind of reminded me, because of the art, of kind of that like meme game culture that we've been talking about. Even though I don't really put this in like the meme game side of things, it just almost has like the art style I would expect from like a meme game. But yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, how do the other kind of worlds look in this game? Because I really think they can go crazy with it, because if Scavenger's Reign is anything to go off of, like they go really wild with a lot of their designs. So I'm curious to see kind of where it goes from here. I think there's a good foundation. I think the art is pretty cool. But unfortunately, it will get compared to Borderlands a lot, even though I really think that the guns are really the only thing that remind me of Borderlands. Everything else doesn't really remind me too much of it. But that's where I am with the art. I think it's a pretty strong point for the game.
Yeah, and did you get much of the story and music out of it?
As far as the story, not much other than like I got to go down and kill a bunch of these things. There also was one other thing with the art I forgot to mention, where when you go into the pod to like drop down into the world, I just thought it was a nice little touch that like they close the door on you and then you see them like weld the door shut. So it like takes an extra second. So they're probably loading like the game in the background, but I just thought that was a nice little art touch there as well. But yeah, as far as the story, I didn't get like too much out of it. Like you're just like a squad of robots, you know, that is trying to kill all these mushroom kind of weird sci-fi kind of enemies. I don't think they're really going for a lot of story, but there is like a good amount of dialogue. There's like kind of these characters that pop up. Reminds me a lot of like Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, where, and even Deep Rock Galactic, where like you get like characters that pop up and like talk to you about like the mission that you're on. So I enjoyed that. Some of that was a little funny. Kind of had a little bit of the Borderlands-y kind of humor with it, but didn't go like as far, I'd say, as Borderlands can go. And then as far as the sound goes, I mean, I'll play a little clip of it here. I thought it was pretty good. It went with the gameplay pretty well. You know, kind of this, techno-y, fast-paced sort of vibe that kind of like goes into the intensity of like the battles that you're having. It like fits pretty well with that. So I didn't hate the music. I thought it fit, but I also thought it almost sounds a little generic too at the end of the day. But I really think like the gameplay and the art for this game are like what's going to make it stand out.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I mean, it is Devolver, so you know they have a pretty good track record, and you know if they kind of nail all these things that seem the most promising, it'll probably be a really good experience, which is exciting. Yeah. More good indie games. Now, we don't rate these, but you know, hey, listen, if these sounded good, check out the demos or put them on your wish list. We'll probably at least check out a couple of them. I mean, one or both of them when they come out in full release. We don't know when Mycopunk comes out, but we do know the Q3 for Sliding Hero. So very interesting. Next week, we are reviewing Nine Kings. Very fun. Not how many kings? Nine of them. Although I don't think all of them are available in early access, but a lot of them are. But we do have listener questions from the Discord, which is free to join. First one comes from Capolo, the question bot himself, who wasn't able to ask a question today somehow.
Yeah, I had messed up when I added that bot for the game deals. I like messed up the permissions for the listener question. So I'm sorry, Capolo, but I fixed it. You're good to go.
Capolo asks, Bluey or Peppa Pig? And if I were to get a Steam Deck in the next few days, what are your top three must play games on it?
All right, well, Bluey or Peppa Pig? If I'm being honest, I haven't watched a lot of Peppa Pig. The only reason I've seen Bluey is because apparently Bluey, like, the colors they use are, like, dog-friendly. And so we sometimes, like, put it on in the house when we leave because we're like, oh, maybe he'll just, like, see something. He doesn't really watch the TV or anything like that, but... because of that, I've sat and like watched a few Bluey episodes and like they're pretty good, you know, like they're well done. I don't really know enough about Peppa Pig, so I'm gonna just go with Bluey. Also because, like, you know, well, is Bluey related to Blue's Clues? Is it like a similar thing? I have no idea. So
it's an Australian show, right?
I guess so. I don't even know. Like, you know, I didn't really watch Blue's Clues when I was a kid, but like it was something that was on. Like, I'm very aware of mail time and all that stuff with Blue's Clues. So maybe I'm a little biased for Bluey because of that. I don't know. But what about you, Tom? And I'll answer the second question.
I'm going to say neither.
What?
Because I've never seen either of them. I don't know. I'm going to say Blue's Clues, though.
Okay.
I just got a letter. That's what we should sing when Capolo sends in a question. Yeah. We just got a question. And Steam Deck, best three games to play on it.
Yeah, top three games to play on it. I mean, it matters, obviously, like what you're kind of into. I mean, I'm always going to put Balatro in there. I've had fun playing it on my Steam Deck. I've also been playing Another Crab's Treasure. Runs really well on the Steam Deck. And it also is kind of like a Nintendo game, so it makes me feel like I'm playing my Switch at the same time, which is cool. And then as far as a third game to put on there, I mean, I've played like a good amount of stuff on there. I'm trying to think of like what was like really wowed me of how good it was on the Steam Deck. Because sometimes you load up a game and it might not look that great because, like, the Steam Deck's not, you know, like, if I load up Elden Ring, it's like, it looks okay, but I don't know if I want to play it on this because especially this thing sounds like it's going to explode.
Yeah.
Maybe the other game would be, like, Blasphemous. I've been playing some of that. That works pretty well on the Steam Deck. You know, it's a platformer. So, honestly, I think a lot of the games we cover on the show run pretty well on the Steam Deck. Other than, Mycopunk, I think you had mentioned.
Yeah,
wasn't really running well, but it's a demo, so, you know, see what happens.
It probably will eventually, but it was just like very glitchy.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I'll just go with those. But what about you?
I like platformers on the Steam Deck, so I would say Celeste, Hollow Knight, and Dead Cells. You know, three like classics. Like, if you haven't played them, that's going to be a good game to play on the Steam Deck. You'll be more willing to play it because you can bring it anywhere, which is nice. So play it on the toilet, you know, like wherever you want, you know. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but that's what I do.
And I think also, like, I try to favor games that I can play offline, you know, because, like, sometimes, like, even this past weekend, like, you know, Lady Juice is getting a massage for an hour. So I'm in the car and I got the Steam Deck. I'm just chilling. But obviously I can't play a game like Elden Ring, Night Rain, or Once Human that is online. So I'm playing, you know, actually I've been playing a little bit of Spyro, this trilogy I bought ages ago. I had never played Spyro. So that runs pretty well on it as well. But yeah, I think Tommy kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, those platformer games run really well on the Steam Deck, and you can play them offline.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And they're classics. Next question comes from K-more. We are halfway through the year. Any contenders to win the juice of the year?
The juice of the year. Honestly, contenders for me, I mean, 33 Immortals, still a game I love to play, love to boot up. Can run on the Steam Deck, by the way, but obviously requires online connection. that's at the top of the list for me. I really enjoyed Sworn as well. I'm just looking through the list here of maybe what I was really into this year. It's tough. There's some good ones. Halls of Torment, I really liked. That was this year, right? Was it? It's a while. It's been a while.
No.
So yeah, I'll just go with like 33 Immortals is probably the front runner for me right now. But we'll see. I mean, next week's a pretty strong game from what I've played. So, I mean, we'll see if that ends up being a contender as well. But what about you, Tommy? Anything come to mind?
I mean, 33 Immortals is up there, but I think currently I would say Star Vaders is my front runner. I'm enjoying that game quite a bit. I'm still playing it. So that one was kind of made for me, though, right? You know, that's right up my alley. But yeah, we have a lot of games to review left, so I'll be interested. It's been a pretty good year for games, though, so far, I think, for us. Mm-hmm. So, and then finally, a question from MF98170, which I always read as motherfucker.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
If you could drink any, or if you could have a drink, if you could have a drink with any Lord of the Rings character, who would it be?
Who would it be? I mean, it's tough to choose one character. I mean, obviously, like Merry and Pippin would be fantastic. But that's two. So, I don't know. I feel like Gandalf. I just would want to hear his stories. Be like, can you just tell me some stories, Gandalf? But I tend to, you know, I know it'd be great to like have it with like a dwarf, you know, but I just feel like they're going to like, I got to drink with someone that's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
Like
they're
going to just like pound them back. Same with the elves. So I'm kind of leaning towards like a hobbit or like someone that's like wise enough, like Gandalf, that's going to make sure, you know, I'm not going too crazy. So I don't know. Sam comes to mind a little bit. I don't want to have a drink with Frodo personally. He's going to depress me. So I just feel like Gandalf is probably the answer if it's not the other two, but. What about you?
Yeah, this is a really tough question. I think, I don't know. It depends on what kind of vibe I'm going for. If it's like, I want a party, it's probably Merry or Pippin or Gimli. If I want maybe to be like a little quizzical, I would go with Gandalf, right? Like, he might not give me all the stories, but he'll say something that'll make me want to know more with a little twinkle in his eye. And you'll be like, God, Gandalf. But if I'm like, if I want to get like, you know, moody, Aragorn. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Just like, I want to sit in a corner, not even talk. Just like have a hood over my head, smoke a pipe, be mysterious, dark, you know, and then just throw them back. I think that would be pretty cool. There's a lot of good options, though.
Yeah. Gollum, you know.
Gollum. Maybe not Gollum. Well, actually, you know what? Actually, I might take it back. King Theoden. I would, like, I know at some point during the night, he's going to just, like, lead a charge somehow.
Right.
And he's like,
Ride
to ruin! Death! And I'm like,
I guess I'm doing this.
I guess I'm doing it. So it's a good question. Good question. And unfortunately, that means we have to go home. But first, we have to make a quick pit stop at the Rec Room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week?
I am recommending a game I mentioned earlier. It's Elden Ring Nightreign. So for those that don't know, it is a roguelike Elden Ring. It's a three-player co-op game. Kind of the first like multiplayer experience that I think like From Software is really, you know, kind of gotten into. Obviously, there's like multiplayer in some of the Souls games, but this is like truly just like a multiplayer kind of game, even though you can do it solo if you wanted to. But you know, I was a little hesitant at first just because I did play like the technical test alpha and it was fun, but it's also like a good departure from like standard systems in the other Souls games. Like typically when you level up, you can level up specific stats. So you can be like, oh, I want to build into like dexterity or strength. In this game, you choose a class and each of those classes is kind of has different advantages for different attributes. And so when you go to level up, it just kind of levels up those attributes for you. So you just kind of hit the level up button and you're not really choosing specifically what you want. So, and there's like other things that kind of depart a bit from the normal formula. But the more runs I did, I actually beat a run, which is really exciting. I had a lot of fun. Like I've been having a blast playing it. And I think it's, they did a good job, you know, doing something a little bit different kind of feeling. And obviously I'm still like a little bit in the honeymoon period. So we'll see kind of how, what the longevity is here. But I think that right out of the gate, they did a pretty good job. There's been some like connection issues and I've had some weird screen tearing, things like that, that they need to fix with updates. But overall, like I'd say if you're a fan of Elden Ring out there and you have another friend that also likes Elden Ring or two other friends, pick up Nightreign, give it a shot. You know, I know it's like, I think it's $40. So it's not even like a full price game, which is nice. Give it a whirl because I do think it's fun. And if anyone wants to be, I play with Bags, wants to be our third, any juice heads out there, let me know. Because we've just been getting paired up with randoms and they're fine, but sometimes they just do their own thing and it's a pain in the butt. But yeah, it's been fun playing Nightreign. It's been different. And there's also so much, you know, From Software typically like hides a bunch of things. They don't tell you everything. So like Bag sends me a lot of TikToks on Nightreign. I see a lot of TikToks and there's so many things where I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. There's two other characters I can unlock that like they don't tell you about, like that sort of stuff that kind of just like reminds me of like, you know, when we're like the old days, like playing Super Smash where there's like characters you didn't know you could unlock. Like it kind of brings back a little bit of those feelings. So pretty Goku? Impressed with it. Yeah, you can. Yes, Goku. Absolutely.
You got to do the SSN trick, right?
Yeah, and then you need to use the Pokey Flute at night, and it needs to be, I don't know, but you need to wrap your computer in tinfoil, and then, I don't know. There's always, like, stupid rumors like that from back in the day, but... it's fun, it's good. It's like a low expectation high reward kind of thing for me where I just didn't have like super high expectations but ends up being a lot of fun. So
sweet.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll play it. I did like Elden Ring, so there's a chance. I think I need to like figure out the specs on my computer because I've been having trouble running some of the heavier games, but it does seem cool and probably more up my alley than regular Elden Ring. So
yeah,
I might be your third. Who knows? Maybe all right. One day. I have a movie to recommend called Mad God. This is Phil Tippett's passion project. Phil Tippett, if you don't know, kind of the mastermind behind like the practical effects behind like Jurassic Park and all these other amazing, you know, practical effects over the years. And then he kind of like stopped and then just made this. It was like a passion project. It took him like 13, maybe 20 years, I think, you know, on and off. And it's not really a plot based movie. It's a stop motion movie about these. There's like a weird guy that lives up somewhere and then sends these other weird guys down into the depths to like assassinate the world or something like that. And you're kind of like just seeing this weird world and this weird twisted place that is created. So if you like stop motion, I would definitely recommend it because it just is kind of like a masterpiece in that way. And it's creepy, it's weird, and it's kind of gross at times. My wife, I don't think liked it. I kept looking over at her and she was just like looking down. She was knitting and she was like, oh, this is the whole time. So, but I liked it. I was like, oh, this is pretty weird, wacky. So Mad God, yep. Phil Tippett.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you had sent this on TikTok or something, but I've seen this. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
I saw a few videos about it on TikTok. It's pretty cool looking. Yeah, I had it like added to my my favorites just so I could go back to it. So I'll have to check it out. I always like the stop motion stuff. I feel like we were like stop motion kids.
Yeah.
You know? Like that was just like the thing on like YouTube or break.com and all that sort of stuff. So I always had fun with what was it? Knox Animation. Shout out Knox.
Shout out Knox.
The clay figures. Yeah.
Like the fort?
Yes, Fort Knox, exactly. Like the sound.
Yeah. Hey, also here's some video game news that we didn't cover. Shout out to your running back is on the cover of Madden.
Yes, Saquon Barkley.
Torn ACL next year. Calling it all now. Right.
Listen, the Madden curse has been broken already, so it's totally fine. What I didn't realize with that, though, I did see, like, they do I should assume, they do, like, a photo shoot where you reenact it so they can get the right cover. I always thought they just, like, they have so many angles of all the plays that, like, they just found the perfect one and touched it up. But they actually like recreate it. So that's kind of cool. Good to know, you know, for that one's probably a harder one to recreate than probably some of the other ones. But
yeah. Who's the most random Madden cover, do you think, ever?
Do you have one that comes to mind? I don't even know.
I always think of
Joe Flacco on the cover?
No, I don't think he was.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I would say probably Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, Peyton Hillis.
One good year, was on the Madden cover, and then the Madden curse happened and never had a great year again. But I digress.
Or Antonio Brown on there.
Yeah.
Not random. I mean, he's good.
He was really good. So
Yeah.
Also, you know, hey, this actually reminds me. well, this is going to be a weird way to say it, but like happy Pride to everybody this June. And the reason that reminds me is because my favorite football team, the Packers, posted a pro pride post on Instagram. And of course, the comments must be normal. And no, they were all hateful. And I just want you to all know that you are loved and you belong in that world, this world, and any other world. Don't let those people, you know, say anything.
People,
they suck. So.
People they're stupid. They're stupid. So, yes. Yeah. Shout out to all the Pride people out there. Keep having your parades and
we ain't going to rain on
Patreon.
Them.
What?
We ain't going to rain on them.
We ain't going to rain on them. That's true.
But Elden Ring night rain on them. No, anyway, okay. You can all find me on Blue Sky at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds where I talk about a game called Flesh and Blood. Almost 200 episodes coming up next week, I believe. And what else? You can find us on all platforms at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you, Maddie?
Find me at Maddie Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. I'll be streaming some Dune this week, putting out some videos for it as well. So be on the lookout if you're interested in Dune Awakening, which looks like it's going to have a pretty big launch. They're doing a lot of things right, which is really exciting. So I'll be live with that sort of stuff. So pop in and say hi. But other than that, Tommy, that's it.
The juice has been squeezed. See you next week. Woo!